Blog Talk Radio.
In the desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day, your busy life, to join me today on the podcast. Today is Monday, September 18th, 2023. It was exactly 1 year ago this past Saturday, September 16th, that a young 22-year-old Kurdish woman visiting Tehran was arrested by the morality police for showing a few strands of hair. And a few hours later, she was fighting for her life in a coma in a hospital. What transpired on that day shook this planet forever. Her name was Gina Mahsa Amini. She was simply stepping off to visit relatives in Tehran, Iran. And the morality police that day decided, there she is, an improper, unveiled woman, showing too much hair, just a few strands. And they confronted her in front of her brother. A few seconds later, she was arrested, taken to a detention center. It was en route to that detention center that I believe Gina Mahsa Amini was brutally beaten. And then her death was covered up with a clever video saying that this young Kurdish girl had died of a sudden heart attack. But their plan didn't work. September 16th, one of the greatest women-led revolutions in the world exploded, ignited, and Gina Mahsa Amini became a household word that we will never forget. It has been 1 year since her cruel, unjust murder, and since then, 550 men, women, and children have paid with their lives for peacefully protesting for freedom in Iran. 20,000 of them have been arrested, and out of those 20,000, hundreds, if not thousands, have been tortured, imprisoned, and you will never hear from them ever again. Just recently, 7 peaceful protesters out of that 20,000 arrested were executed. There is no freedom in Iran. And that is something that you will know right away if you're a first-time listener to my podcast. There is no freedom in Iran. But let me tell you what. In the past year, this is a revolution that absolutely will not die. And today on the cross in the desert, I want to pay tribute to this courageous young Kurdish girl who absolutely changed the world with her unjust death, Gina Mahsa Amini. Her story is in my book, Uprising, We Are the Revolution. I'm going to read part of that later. But what I want us to do right now, I want us to sit back. And if for the next 10 minutes, I want you to listen to the sights and the sounds, if you will, of that day 1 year ago. PBS has put together a really pretty good documentary. And in this 10-minute documentary, you're not only going to hear the sound of protesters, but a national recognized actress, a star, an Iranian woman who is a voice for her people, Nazanin Bouniadi, is going to be interviewed. And I want you to hear the insights that she has on this woman life freedom movement 1 year later. Let's listen.
It is 1 year to the day since a 22-year-old Iranian Kurdish woman named Mahsa Amini died in a hospital, days after the morality police arrested her in Tehran. They said she had violated Iran's Islamic dress code that requires women to wear a headscarf or hijab and cover themselves in loose, full-length clothing. Penalties for disregarding that include a fine, prison, or flogging. Her death sparked months of protest. Iran's biggest mass demonstrations is against its clerical rulers in years. Around the world today, demonstrators marched in solidarity to mark the anniversary of Mahsa Amini's death. In London, there were calls for an end to Iran's strict Islamic rule.
The regime is really brutal, so we all fighting. If it takes 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, doesn't matter. We never stop.
In Berlin, calls for another Iranian revolution, this one to depose the religious leaders who seized power in 1979. But in Iran, a much different picture. A heavy security presence sought to prevent a resurgence of last year's protests triggered by the death of Amini. The 22-year-old woman was from a small city in northwestern Iran, a member of the oppressed Kurdish ethnic minority. She died while in government detention. Iranian officials still deny it was a result of being beaten. Amini's death unleashed decades of pent-up anger at Iran's clerical rulers and their denial of social and political freedoms. Women led the protest, fed up with the restraints strict Islamic law puts on them, including telling them how to dress. Their protest mushroomed into a global movement. Women cut their hair to show solidarity. Their rallying cry, women, life, freedom.
Until the women of Iran are free, we are going to stand with you. Jiyan, Jiyan, Azadi, women, life, freedom.
In Iran, authorities responded with a brutal crackdown. More than 22,000 people were detained. More than 500 were killed in violent clashes with security forces. Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei said it was all a Western plot.
I say clearly that these riots and insecurities were designed by America. They have sat down and planned this. They have planned this.
A year later, the mandatory hijab law is still in place, and authorities want to stiffen the penalties to up to 10 years in prison. And the morality police, after apparently being disbanded, resume patrolling this summer. But on the streets of Tehran, more women, young and old, are defiantly going without the hijab.
Do you think the morality police can prevent women from not wearing a hijab? They can't impose it like before. The number of people who don't obey is too high now. They can't handle all of us.
And Mahsa Amini's name lives on. This Kurdish family named their new daughter Jina, Amini's Kurdish name, which means life.
This name is sacred because she is a sacred personality. We chose this name so that in the future my daughter knows that it's not an ordinary name and not for an ordinary person, but for an exceptional and different person.
A symbol of hope for women who want a better future. This week, President Biden announced new sanctions on Iran. In a statement, he said, in the face of continued oppression and violence, the citizens of Iran remain committed to this movement and to their fight for a free and democratic future. Iranians alone will determine the fate of their country, but the United States remains committed to standing with them. To explore this further, Nazanin Bouniadi, she's an Iranian-born human rights activist, an ambassador for Amnesty International UK. She's also an actor who's appeared in many popular movies and television shows. Thank you for being with us. This protest or this movement began, obviously, over the hijab law. But has it become bigger than that? Has it encompassed more issues than that?
Thanks for having me, John. Yes, the short of it is yes. You know, Mahsa Jina Amini was not just a young woman. She was a Kurd and a Sunni. She was a member of religious and minority ethnic groups. So what her death did, and by the way, she was just a normal woman. She was just an everyday woman living her life. She wasn't killed for anything, but just expressing herself freely and living her life normally. Just for wearing her hijab inappropriately, quote unquote. And so she really became a symbol of the antithesis of a male Shia geriatric intolerant ruling elite in Iran, and it galvanized Iranian society at large to stand for democracy and freedom.
We saw the tape, women going without the hijab, but also the morality police back on the streets patrolling. Has anything changed at all in the past year?
You know, we're not seeing the same numbers on the streets. But the revolution is very much alive in the hearts and the minds of the Iranian people, and Iranian society will never be the same again. Hundreds of thousands of Iranian women are currently on the streets of Iran every day in major Iranian cities, flouting the compulsory hijab law. And there are micro protests, you know, Iran's Gen Z doing things like roller skating on the streets of Iran to ABBA, to inject society with joy, because joy is a crime in Iran. Women can't dance in public, they can't sing solo in public, they can't ride a bicycle, they have to sit at the back of the bus. This is about far more than compulsory hijab, and it's become about far more than just women's rights.
Mahsa's father was detained in the past couple of days, and before he was released, he was warned not to do anything today to commemorate his daughter's death. What's life like for Iranians who are fighting the clerical rule and clerical rulers who make it clear they will not put up with any dissent?
In one word, dangerous. I mean, these families have been harassed, intimidated, silenced, imprisoned, killed, simply for demanding justice for their loved ones. You know, there's a young child, a 9-year-old, Kian Pufalak, who was killed with bullets while the protests were happening. And his mother, who's seeking justice, is trying very hard to hold the Iranian regime to account and actually sued the government. They stopped them from commemorating their loved ones. They actually killed the mother's cousin while he was commemorating the death of young Kian. So this is the type of thing that they're dealing with, and his mother is now under house arrest.
Today, obviously, Mahsa's front of mind, the anniversary of her death. Do you worry that in the other 364 days, her memory will recede, and maybe the issue will recede in a lot of people's minds in the West?
I'm very worried about that. Today, as you said, is the anniversary of her death, and we're seeing protests across the world. There's an epitaph on Mahsa Jina Amini's grave that says, "Your name will become our code." And it did, because her, you know, her legacy is one of fighting for a normal life, which is the middle slogan of woman, life, freedom. We can't forget that women's rights is just one pillar of what they're fighting for. The other two being a normal life, the right to live your life in a free way, and freedom being the last word in this slogan. And those two last words apply to all Iranians. So this has really captured the national aspiration. Now men are standing with women, and actually more young men have been killed in the past year than women. But that shows the solidarity, something that really strikes fear into this misogynistic and patriarchal regime.
We heard in the statement that I read earlier that President Biden said that this is up to the Iranians. This is the Iranians' struggle and fight, but we're standing with them. The United States stands with them. Is the West doing enough to support this, do you think?
In short, no. It's great. Words are great, but what we need is action. And there are a number of ways we can do that. We haven't ever been ready for the next uprising, but Iranians have risen up multiple times in the past 44 years. And every time there's now an internet shutdown, blackout, there's mass brutality and crackdown on the protesters. And what we have to do is be prepared for the next time. There will be a next time. The time between the ebbs and flows of these protests are getting shorter, and hopefully the regime will be no longer. But the Iranian people need us to ensure they have internet access, to ensure that the propaganda that these dictators in unison, Russia, China, Iran, spew and spend a lot of money on propaganda and cyber armies. We just don't have the same capacity and capability and funding to counter that propaganda.
You said earlier that you thought Iranian society will never be the same, but we've also seen the leadership crack down harder and harder. Are you optimistic that things will change and change soon?
You know, it's hard to predict how long this is going to take, but I think it is. It's very clear. This is the twilight of the regime. The supreme leader is the oldest dictator and the longest dictator holding power in today's world. And his death, it will happen anytime soon. He's very sick. He's got cancer. And what happens the day after is we have to watch this space. And in the meantime, we cannot allow that vacuum to be filled with more oppression. We have to ensure that we're empowering dissident voices, opposition voices. We need a unified opposition, but we also need a multinational approach to Iran. We need an American leadership on Iran, and hopefully bipartisan support for the Iranian people.
Nazanin Boniandi, thank you very much.
Thank you.
What a powerful, powerful voice Nazanin has for the Iranian people. She has not forgot her people. A very successful actor, but she knows how to stand up in solidarity with her people. From my book, Uprising, We Are the Revolution, page 10, there's a picture there of Gina Mahsa Amini. Next to it, it's an imposed picture I put together of her in the hospital, in the ICU, in a coma. And beneath this picture are these words: Dear Mahsa, you courageously defied the hijab law. Your unjust death sparked a revolution, an uprising that will never die. We are all Mahsa. They will not force us. They will stop degrading us. They will not control us, and we will be victorious. That is the song you heard at the beginning of my program, the lead-in music from Muse and Uprising. I want to take us now to the global rally in honor of Mahsa Amini, the one-year anniversary. I want to focus in on a specific on Saturday, September 16th, the one-year anniversary. This is the Iranian-American LA rally in Los Angeles. Let's listen.
And now it's 6,000 march in downtown LA demanding justice for Mahsa Amini 1 year after her death at the hands of Iranian police. And welcome to KCAL News at 6 on CBS Los Angeles. I'm Leslie Medi.
And good evening, everyone. I'm Ross Palumbo. We're also streaming live right now on CBS News Los Angeles. The 22-year-old was beaten and killed by police for violating that country's strict dress code for women.
The death sparked protests and nationwide movement in Iran. And KCAL News reporter Lauren Posen has the message from protesters out there today.
There's a lot of passion and a lot of emotion. Take a look behind me here. Hundreds and hundreds of people are marching for freedom and equality.
Women, life, freedom!
What's going on, really, that area? Why are they doing this to my country, Iran? Why they are doing this? My people is need help.
It's emotional. It's powerful and it's personal.
All this Iranian woman is very strong and safe with this regime. I'm proud of them. I hope soon regime gone.
Thousands came to downtown Los Angeles outside City Hall to show support for Mahsa Day, named after Mahsa Amini. She died in custody of Iran's morality police 1 year ago today for allegedly not wearing a hijab. Her death sparked a global movement.
This demonstration and this revolution, which we call Mahsa Revolution, is existing and is going to be continued until the Islamic Republic destroyed.
Fed up with the oppression of Iran, women there are fighting for the most basic rights, but at a high price. Hundreds of people have died so far in the wave of protests since her death.
These are mothers who just want their children to have a brighter future. These are girls who want to be able to go to school without being poisoned. These are women who just want to be able to walk in the streets, to sing, to dance, the basic liberties that we take for granted.
That's why many say it's so important to show support against a regime that wants to silence people.
Women in America experience oppression in all the subtle ways, but we're not being executed in the street for not wearing a headscarf. And there's real physical violence happening in Iran.
Mahsa Amini will continue to be remembered in Los Angeles. City Council has decided to name an intersection after her in Westwood Village. Reporting in downtown Los Angeles, Lauren Posen, KCAL News.
There were rallies not only here in the United States, but all over the world, in Toronto, in Canada, in Germany, in Berlin, and places like that. It was a worldwide rally in support of women in Iran. Woman, Life, and Freedom is the name of that movement, and I talk a lot about it in my book, Uprising, which I'm going to get to later. I want to play one last soundbite. It's about 2 minutes. I want you to listen carefully, and I have some comments after it. This is Secretary of State Anthony Blinken talking about commemorating Mahsa Amini's death 1 year later.
1 year ago, a young Iranian woman, Mahsa Zina Amini, died in the custody of the regime's so-called morality police. She'd been arrested for supposedly doing something that should not have been a crime in the first place, wearing her hijab too loosely. As news of her death spread, so did a nationwide movement led by Iranian women and young people calling for women, life, freedom. In response, the Iranian government brutally crushed these peaceful protests, killing hundreds of demonstrators, including children, arresting thousands more, beating detainees, and committing gender-based violence, holding sham trials, and hasty executions. The United States has joined countries around the world in supporting the Iranian people in their pursuit of justice, accountability, and respect for their human rights. During the protests and throughout the last year, when the Iranian regime throttled internet access, we helped provide technologies to get people online so they could share information and exercise their right to free expression. We helped establish an independent fact-finding mission through the United Nations. We also sanctioned over 70 officials and organizations involved in the repression. Today, we're announcing new sanctions against 29 other individuals and entities in connection with the Iranian regime's human rights abuses. The United States will continue to support Iranians and all people who are defending their human rights and fundamental freedoms. And today, we join people from across the globe in honoring the memory of Mahsa Amini and those killed. As the epitaph on Mahsa Amini's grave reads, her name will become a symbol. Indeed, it has. And it will always be a reminder of the courage of the Iranian people.
That is Secretary of State Anthony Blinken. Now, if you listen carefully, it sounds very supportive. And there are some things in there that he said that I agree with. But what grieves me beyond words is that the same administration that just claimed that they would support the rights of Iranians, President Obama had just been elected president, and there was an uprising as a result of a fraudulent presidential election in Iran, and there was violence and shootings and murders on the streets, and Obama turned his back on the Iranian people. And the Iranian protesters knew what was going on, and it was more maybe 6 years later that he signed a nuclear deal, another betrayal, empowering the mullahs. Well, the Biden administration has just given $6 billion to the mullahs of Iran in exchange for the release of some American hostages. Now, I'm all for Americans coming home and being safe with their families. Do not misunderstand me. But again, we are paying money to empower the terrorist organization of the mullahs of Iran all over the world. None of that money is going to go to serve humanitarian needs to the people of Iran. It will be used exclusively in other countries. The mullahs of Iran are empowering themselves and using the money to further their tentacles of terrorism all over the world. And so while you hear Secretary of State Anthony Blinken basically virtue signaling, what look at us, what we're doing. But in the you see a very weak, a very fragile Biden administration appeasing a terrorist group in Iran. And that is sad, because when President Trump was in office, he tore up that nuclear deal, and he was the voice consistently of the Iranian people tweeting and texting their support all of the time. And we have an administration, while they may have done a few things with the internet and maybe has said something good in favor of the Iranian people, but yet behind the scenes, they are empowering this mullah terrorist organization called the Islamic Republic of Iran with big bucks. It's sad. What I want to do with the remainder of our time, I want to take us into my book, Uprising, We Are the Revolution, and I want to briefly share a few paragraphs from the story, Mahsa Amini, A Few Strands of Hair. Gina Mahsa Amini peered out of the subway train window of the Tehran Metro. Tonight, the Tehran Metro was running right on schedule and would be arriving at Haqqani Station within the next 5 minutes. It had been an extremely long travel day for her and her brother Ashkan. They had journeyed over 627 kilometers, that's 389 miles, from the city of Sakwaz, located in the Kurdistan province near the border of Iraq. Tonight, Gina was very excited. She was going to finally get to see her uncle for the first time in over a year. She quietly chuckled to herself, remembering back to when she was a child. He had proudly given her the name of Skeni, meaning gentle breeze. Everyone in her family, including her friends, called her by her Kurdish name, Gina. Her Persian name, Mahsa, was reserved only for her passport, since Kurdish names were not accepted on official documents. Gina reclined back in her seat and relaxed, closing her eyes for a few moments. This past summer had been an incredible time in her life. She had applied for university in Iraq to study biology and recently opened her very own boutique shop, calling it Best Boutique, having her own small dream in life made possible by her dear father. Best Boutique featured colorful Kurdish clothing and a wide variety of women's jewelry. In just 8 days, she would turn 23 on September 21st and was planning on having the biggest birthday celebration of her life. The sudden jolt of the subway train coming to a halt startled Gina. She quickly opened her eyes and stood up from her seat. They had finally arrived at Haqqani Station. It was exactly 6:15 p.m. Following close behind her brother, they exited the train and stood outside the station. The evening sky was illuminated with brilliant streaks of orange and yellow. It was officially sunset in Tehran. As Gina and her brother began walking away from the station, a woman dressed in a long black chador, flanked by two security officers dressed in military green uniforms, stopped them. The woman gazed carefully at Gina's loose-fitting headscarf and then scrutinized the tight trousers that she was wearing. She shook her head in disgust, gave her a scornful look. Gina knew right away that this must be the Tehran Morality Police. "May I see both of your passports?" the woman asked with a sharp tone in her voice. Gina reached into her purse and Ashkan removed his wallet from his black pants pocket. The woman carefully inspected Gina's passport with a look of disapproval when she discovered her Kurdish background. She returned the passport to Gina and then edged closer with a stern look on her face. "You have an improper hijab, miss. Do you know that?" The woman reached up and touched the few strands of hair that were protruding from her loose-fitting headscarf. Gina took a deep breath, struggling to relax. She could feel her heart beginning to race in her chest. Beads of sweat began to trickle down her face. "I'm sorry, ma'am. I was not sure what the clothing standards were for Tehran." "They are the same everywhere," the woman rudely interrupted. "Your hijab should be completely covering your hair. No makeup or nail polish, no skin showing, and these trousers. This is not clothing for a Muslim woman." "As my sister explained," Ashkan interrupted, "we were not sure of the clothing standards here." The woman glanced back at the security officer, motioning for one of them to escort Gina toward the waiting patrol van. "We are going to solve that problem once and for all, Miss Gina. We are going to take you to the detention center for a few hours and re-educate you on the wearing of proper Islamic clothing. Gina edged closer toward her brother, nervously grabbing him by the arm for security. No, no, please don't let them take me, Ashkan, Gina protested in fear. Ashkan tried to stand between Gina and the morality police, but the guard shoved him out of the way, tightly grabbing hold of Gina's arm and pulling her toward the van. Let go of me, Gina screamed, resisting with all of her strength. Ashkan tried to pull Gina away from the grip of the guard, but the woman stepped between them and gave him a fierce look. Stand aside, or you too will be arrested. A crowd of people had gathered after hearing the frightened screams of Gina. A few of them were busy filming the scene on their cell phones. Here is the address of the Wazara Detention Center. You can get a cab to take you there. Gina will be reunited with you in just a few hours. Ashkan took his cell phone and then began looking for a taxi driver. The vacation of a lifetime had suddenly been transformed into a living nightmare, and Ashkan felt helpless to solve their dilemma. But there was one thing for sure. This was his sister, and he was determined to not let anything bad happen to her. I want to stop right there because it goes into much more detail, the beating, the death, and the afterword. I don't want to spoil that for us. If you happen to want to purchase the book, you can get this up on Amazon, and you'll not only read the story of Gina Mahsa Amini, but the last hours of very prominent women, female protesters, young women, female protesters that lost their lives for simply protesting for freedom, for choice. And as Nazanin pointed out in her interview, this is much more than just a few strands of hair. Women can't go into a soccer stadium. Women can't ride bikes. Women can't sing publicly. Women can't do anything except what the Islamic Republic of Iran decides for them. This is much more than just about the hijab. It's about choice. It's about freedom. It's about living a normal life. And so I wanted to stop there because I want you to be able to read this very powerful story of the last hours of Gina Mahsa Amini. And you can get that book up on Amazon and Kindle and paperback, Uprising, We Are the Revolution. There is a very incredible, very powerful song written by a young Iranian artist that became the national anthem of the woman life freedom. Shervin Hajipour wrote a song called Battery, and it's about woman life and freedom. That was in Farsi. It's beautifully sung. But there is an artist in Canada named Rana Mansour who decided to take this anthem and put it into English so most of us can understand it. But I want you to hear this song. It is the song that has defined the woman life and freedom, and I want you to hear the beauty of the words and the cry of the heart of this song. Let's listen.
For dancing in the alleys and the streets, for the thrill and the fear of getting caught kissing, for my sister, my brother, and unity, for all the times we tried to change their minds and stale beliefs, for the loss of pride, for poverty, for the dream of just a normal life for you and me, for all the children who are starving for a loaf of bread, for the greed of politics and all the lies they spread, for all the mass polluted air we breathe, for all the litter in the streets and all the dying trees, for all the animals who suffer from elimination, for all the cats and dogs who love us without no conditions, for all the tears that seem to never end, for all the images that keep on turning in our heads, for a simple smile to last a little while, for the future generations, fighting for their time, for empty promises, a heaven in the afterlife, for all the imprisonments of beautiful minds, for all the babies who were born and for the ones who died, for all the times you told the truth and all the times you lied, for all the speeches that we heard about a million times, for all the shacks and shelters that were sold to make a dime, for just a glimpse of a peaceful life, for the rising of the sun after an endless night, for all the pills we pop just to get some sleep, for all mankind and our country, for all the boys and girls who never knew equality, for woman, for life, liberty.
So much, Rana Mansour, for bringing us this song in the English language. The beauty of the lyrics are just mind-boggling. You know, it is the absolute passion of my life to be a voice for my dear Iranian friends. The Bible instructs me to be a voice of hope and freedom for them. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 8 through 9 in the English Standard Version translation. The same proverb in the NIV says this: speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice. And that's what this is really all about. There is a powerful little psalm that God has put on my heart to use in my daily prayer time for my Iranian friends. And almost every book I have written, I've put this psalm in there just because I want readers to know the power of this beautiful little psalm. This psalm has become the passionate cry of my heart to God that he will deliver them from the oppression and fear of this dictatorship government. And I'm just so confident that the evil foundation of this current regime has many cracks in it, and God is about to crush it. I really believe that. I want you to hear the words, the Psalm 72, verses 12 through 14 in the New Living Translation. He will rescue the poor when they cry to him. He will help the oppressed who has no one to defend them. He feels pity and he will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious to him. The context is the oppressed. The context is the poor, the oppressed, who have no one to defend them against corruption. And the subject of this psalm is the mercy of God, the passion of God. He says, your lives are precious to me. Every time a protester, every time someone who is crying out for freedom is assaulted, is victimized, or is killed, that life, that death of that person is precious to God. And I know God hears the cries of my heart for my dear Iranian friends. Daniel chapter 2, verse 20 says this: he controls the course of world events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. What that means is God is sovereign. And at the appointed time, I believe he will bring this evil government to their knees and avenge the Iranian people. Okay, 1 year global outreach, a global rally, an outcry against the unjust death of Mahsa Amini. Today is Monday, September 18th. That rally was approximately 2 days ago. And the world responded. The world is saying we will not let you forget the name of Mahsa Amini. And that is all good. But remember back to what Nazanin said in the interview earlier on. She said, in response to a question about this movement, what's the future? Will it die out? Are you afraid of that? She said, yes. Because it's easy to get caught up in the passion and in the emotion. I mean, all of us are human. We do that. But then it's like we go back to life. And understandably, we are busy people, and Iran is so important, it's so precious, but we have other things in our life that we have to attend to. So how do we keep this movement alive? You just heard me quote from Psalm 72. That is a perfect place to start. Psalm 72, verses 12 through 14. Make it your passion in your daily Bible time to pray this prayer, to use this to pray and ask God for his intervention. In prayer, we are approaching the God of the universe with our heartfelt petitions. Prayer is so important, but also posting prayer, posting stories about what's happening in Iran, posting my radio program this morning, posting blogs, buying my book, Uprising, Where Are the Revolution, to keep their stories before your eyes and not to forget them. The names of Nika Shakarami, Hadas Najafi, Azra Panahi, Armida, Serena, these are young, innocent women that were brutally murdered for simply wanting freedom. So prayer and posting and doing all you can in a passionate way to remind your elected officials that we need to keep the Iranian people's lives before our eyes each and every day and do everything we can to support them and to know that there is a God in heaven that loves them and has a plan for their future. So I want to say thank you so much today for spending time, for remembering the Iranian people, for listening to their story, for honoring the memory of Gina Mahsa Amini. And I agree with Nazanin, this revolution, though it may have died out a little on the streets because of oppressive police tactics, it's never going to die forever. This is a movement that was born a year ago, and it's the biggest uprising since the Iranian Revolution of 1979. It is not going to die out. These young women and men are tired of oppression. They are tired of not having freedom, and they have just begun. They have just begun. They will not forget Gina Mahsa Amini. They will not forget the destructive tactics of this corrupt regime. They have only just begun. And so thank you so much for spending time with me today. Remember my Iranian friends to your prayer and keep them in the forefront of your thinking. Please use this radio program and post it all over social media. Let's keep their story alive and let's have an uprising in their honor. God bless you.